You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out.
Come over here, kid. Why so? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn, you bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Cold days, huh? But the farmers markets sure are well attended. I went to three this weekend. I had a great time at all of them. Anyway, tonight's going to be a little bit different than I'd planned and a little bit different than usual. Been very excited about the show. Have Bob Klein, who is one of the owners of Olivetto Restaurant down in Berkeley, as well as Craig Ponsford, who some of you may know from Artisan Bakers and many other wonderful things to do with baking. Craig is just a remarkable and very progressive and talented baker. They are currently sitting on Highway 101, just a little bit north of Petaluma. Apparently, there's a fairly bad accident, and traffic, I think, for about the last 15 minutes has been at a dead stop. So we are here at this... backing up just one minute. What they were going to be talking about tonight, and I hope we'll be talking about, is Community Grains. It is a new company that Bob Klein has founded, and it is a small production of California-grown grains. I've cooked with their polenta. I've eaten their pasta. It's a very different product than what I have found anywhere else, and it's really good. They'll be talking about that project. What I'm going to do now is put on a six-minute song that resonates in the oh-so-clever ways, as you often hear on Mouthful. And we're going to try to get them on the phone until the traffic loosens up and they can jam up here into the studio. So we're going to hear from traffic right now and try to be back in just a few minutes with Bob Klein and Craig Ponsford here on Mouthful.
There were three men came out of the west. Their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow. John Barleycorn must die. They've plowed, they've sown. And little Sir John sprung up his head. John's grown a long, long beard, and so become a man.
And the nut round bone.
Yes, indeed, it is Mouthful, and our guests will be here really soon. They have passed the accident on 101. They're probably 6 or 7 minutes away from the station. So I'm going to talk just a little bit, and then we'll put on one more song. I'll let them in, and we will get talking about community greens. It's really an interesting... And since we have this little pause before the guests are here, if you're near your computer, you can go and take a look at their website. It's Oliveto. Oliveto.com/communitygrains, or if you'd rather just Google community grains, and it's the first thing that comes up. This business is really well thought out. There are a number of people involved. We'll look at them right now. I have my little MacBook Air here showing me everything. Bob Klein is the founder, and we'll be talking to him in just a few minutes. Craig Ponsford, founder of Utterson Bakery, and he's got a great new endeavor going on called Ponsford's Place Bakery and Innovation Center. You can click through to that website. Rode Amel is the executive chef at Oliveto. He's involved. Dallas Mark, who has been dealing with the office functions at Oliveto for a long time, he's involved. William Rubel, author and a food historian, and also a cook, involved in traditional cooking methods. He's involved. Deirdre Davis, pastry certification. She got her pastry certification back in 1996. She's involved. And then they work with a whole slew of farmers. Chip Morris and Jerry Fry of Mo Fry Ranches in Lodi are very important. Ian Johnston is another farmer involved. Bruce and Rick Rominger, fifth generation farmers from Yolo County, are involved. And then there's a whole list of several dozen other farmers who are involved. And, you know, it's not just something that happens in the Central Valley or in inland California. There are people that grow grain in Sonoma County, a variety of grain. Some even mill it themselves. We have, I'll think of it, it's like Canvas Ranch out in Two Rock has now had two crops of emmer, which you may know as Faro, the Italian name. They've done just two fabulous crops. And I know that Lou Preston up in Dry Creek Valley, where there used to be a lot of grains grown, he grows and mills a lot of his grains as well. So there's a lot of that going on. And I think that I've now yammered on enough that we can put on a song and I can run outside and hopefully bring our guests back in just a few minutes. How about we hear a little bit from Tom Waits singing about New Orleans, where I'm going on Tuesday.
The whiskers on my chin. drink you under the table. The red nose gopher was the old horse. What I want is red beans and rice. And wear the dress I like so.
My guests are in the studio. It's Bob Klein. It's Craig Ponsford. We're talking tonight about community grains, but we're also going to catch up with all the different things you've been doing. Sorry you had the trouble on the freeway.
I'm sorry we're late.
Yeah. I've wanted to have you on for so many months.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back because there's actually plenty to talk about.
Yeah. We're just looking at your website. It's a fascinating project. So tell us. When did you start Community Grains? When and why and what?
So it was pretty innocent. It was just sort of a mild curiosity and kind of doing a favor for a friend who had the idea that we should start thinking about growing grains locally. And so I put together a meeting of interested parties. Mm-hmm. and that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Uh-huh. And it was a, you know, baker, miller, distributor, you know, to, you know, just to sort of like, well, could you smooth out the road so that, mm-hmm. you know, the experience with produce where somebody will grow a tomato and they don't want to grow it if people aren't going to buy it.
Sure.
Grain is more complicated, and so could we actually get that going? Anyway, it ended up being far more complicated and far more interesting, far richer, far more wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And the simplest way to think about it is 60 years we've been brain dead. You know, we've been in an industrial structure, grain economy. It's just a very, very rich thing, and we don't know about it. And like everything else that has gone on in Northern California and the rest of the world, I think really starting in Northern California, is when you get close to it, when you have access to the guy who is growing it and milling it and baking it and cooking it and all that, and there's a relationship, then things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So all kinds of stuff's happening.
Now, I don't know a whole lot about this topic, but there are a few people in Sonoma County who grow grains. I know that Deborah Walton out at Canvas Ranch has grown two crops of farro, and she's had a really hard time because the machinery isn't available.
Yeah.
So she's had to do all these gymnastic things to actually get it to the point where it can be.
So one of the things, there was a grain, there was a conference in Washington State a few months ago called the Kneading Conference. There's a conference in Maine called the Kneading Conference, and they just start kneading as in K-N. And so one of, this woman who works with us went up there for the conference. So the people in Washington and Oregon, the farmer side, they're ahead of us. Mm-hmm. They've got the machinery figured out. You know, they know that you could buy the $300,000 Japanese blah, 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 or that 1906 blah, 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 but you need to have somebody who knows how to work on it.
Yeah.
So they've worked out a lot of stuff around, a lot of the issues around small-scale grain have to do with harvesting and cleaning and storage, and those are all, complicated things. But different parts of the country have things figured out. And so we're trying to, that's one of the things we're trying to do in developing a whole, we've taken a very holistic approach to it. We knew at the beginning that if we wanted to do it, for it to work, we had to do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had to really understand what whole grain was. We had to understand how to grow it. We had to understand what varieties were. We had to understand how to bake with it, because it's a little different.
So
we wanted farm relationships. So we needed to create products that people could buy to underwrite the thing, and the whole thing. And so it began, like starting something up and something. I was thinking of it as like the Ed Sullivan Show play twirler. So I've been play twirling now for a while.
How many plates can you twirl at a time?
And it's really it's challenging. So now a lot of stuff is twirling, and now I've got a little help, and there are more twirlers going on.
Well, when did you get involved, Craig?
I guess Bob and I met maybe a little over a year ago, and I was working for a miller up in Woodland. And Bob was visiting the miller, and that's how we started to form a relationship. And it was just about the time that I was acquiring a bakery and going off the deep end on my own passion on whole grain.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob has a similar passion of the whole grain, so we started working together.
So how long did you work for a miller?
Well, I've been working for, I still work for him a little bit of time every month, and I've been working for him close to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a small, the brand is, or the name of the mill is, I want to say Community Grains.
But Certified Foods.
Certified Foods. And Joseph Vanderleet's an old friend of mine, and he's been preaching this whole grain message to me since 95. And I never really heard it until I got my hands in the mill and started to use his flours, and he converted me. I mean, I'm using zero white flour now. So I'm useful to Bob a little bit, and he's useful to me to explore this whole grain thing in a real way instead of a partial way.
Mm-hmm. For somebody who's never seen milling done, especially, and what do we call small-scale milling? What's the right term to use? With what you're doing.
So Joe's mill is a good size mill.
Okay.
And he has a way of milling that's a little different than other people. And so he's able to create, and he doesn't share entirely what he's doing.
Okay.
And he's able to create a true whole grain, meaning all the bran and all the germ is there. Whole wheat flour is, by definition, FDA definition, confused and obfuscated and very likely not whole grain. Mm-hmm. Pizza may not be a vegetable.
Yeah.
we think it is because we're told that it is, but, it may not be.
Yeah. So when you go to a regular grocery store and you buy a sack of flour, whole wheat flour, say you think you're going to be like really healthy, and so you buy nice brown label, you can't really trust.
I think there is really absolutely zero no way to know.
Okay.
You can't tell by the lipid content on the ingredients label. You can't tell by the label 100% whole wheat or 100% whole grain. Can't tell. I think that's my take. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I mean it's if you want to know for sure it's whole grain, then you really need to know the person that's milling it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's the truth with so many foods now. If you really want to know that these eggs are treated this way,
you
or
need
these
to know. Yeah, you need to know the person who's raising the chickens,
right? So, I mean, for just my little bakery in San Rafael, you know, people get to know the baker, and I can tell them where the grains come from.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to buy a whole grain or a true whole grain loaf of bread from a grocery store is super complicated and challenging to really know, in fact, that it's whole grain.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that true stone milling, which is not common, but stone milling mm-hmm. is milling the whole grain. And so if you take something like Vital Vittles, then which I assume is up here too. I don't know if you get Vital Vittles up here, but you get it in the rest of the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think we do.
Gisto's. It's a Gisto brand. Gisto,
yeah, yes.
But Vital Vittles mills its own flour. So Vital Vittles has a mill. They get their wheat from Texas, and they mill their flour. And when it's stone ground, it's commonly believed that it doesn't have shelf life. And so if you're Vital Vittles, then you mill it yourself and you bake it into bread and you have a true whole grain
mm-hmm.
bread. The bread, is it Alvarado? You know, that bread isn't milled, that's fermented.
Right.
And so it's whole grain.
Yeah.
And so there are ways of knowing, but you can't tell by the label.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people who call themselves stone ground that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they drove by a stone, you know. Anyway, it's just not well regulated.
Right.
And so there are all these issues about, well, should we be involved in regulation and, you know, suggesting stuff? And we're trying to be serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working with some really smart people, some great people, who think we should really be in the mix of this. And I think what we're really, our position really is to try to set a standard for clarity that mm-hmm. people, you know, if you have white flour and you put, you eat a bunch of white flour in the form of bread or pasta, you're getting that sugar. And you're getting a blast of sugar.
Yeah.
And so if you put dietary fiber with it, that slows it down. You're way better off. And so all kinds of medical research says, well, you're way better off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not whole grain. And so
right.
the germ, which has, you know, the seed has 10,000 phytochemicals in it, we don't know what that does. And they're interrelated and mm-hmm. they all, you know, they hold the miracle of life and
mm-hmm.
all that,
yeah.
you know, and you put it in the ground and water it, it's going to grow a pretty good sized plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing stuff. We don't know what it does and we don't have a way of measuring it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people should eat white flour if they want. They should have white flour with fiber if they want. But everybody has to be really clear what they're giving uh-huh. out, what they're making. That's, I think, the rule.
Could you make a comparison with what you're doing and where you are with it, with where California olive oil was in the early 90s? It sounds a little bit, because, I mean, back then, Boston was selling something labeled California olive oil that had never been in the state. And there was no clarity when certain people, Lila Yeager and people started, you know,
so, you know, you know, I knew a lot about olive oil. You know, my wife wrote
an olive oil book. Yes, she wrote the
book. But I don't know how much we know now. You know, I mean, we just had dinner with this guy, Tom Mueller, who wrote a very good book.
Right, the book that's just out.
And so I don't know that we're up on it by uh-huh. way of California. You know, and I think he would say that regulation is really lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's lacking with California olive oil and... that's a big part of it is uh-huh. sort of like just the mission, so to speak, of trying to be clear and trying to present a clear picture of what is out there. But then when you get to whole wheat or true whole grain or true whole wheat, there's a whole other block, which is that people think it's, you know, kind of cardboardy and chewy and, you know, not really delicious. And
yeah.
So I will tell you, Craig's bakery is amazing. And he's doing things in it that's absolutely cutting edge. And we're at the restaurant, you know, Oliveto is our restaurant. I don't know if that's, did we do an intro?
You know, I talked about Oliveto quite a bit before.
Okay, so
while
anyway,
you were on the freeway.
At our restaurant, we, you know, we have a whole grain pizza that's true whole grain. Craig developed the recipe for us, and it's really delicious. And so somebody will come in and say, oh, well, you know, it's better than I expect. You know, it's, I expected, you know, spend on, but it's still whole wheat. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just lame. Because it is a flavor component, and it goes really well with other flavors. And there's pasta and pizza that we make with whole grain that I think is really much better than it would have been with white flour because it complements strong flavors, say, you know, like if a really good bolognese with a whole wheat.
Exactly.
It's just great.
When I first, and I tasted your pasta for the first time with nothing but a little bit of butter, and either butter or olive oil, just because I wanted to see the flavors. And the first thing I thought of was, okay, this wants a beautiful bolognese or a beautiful ragu.
Yeah, and so wheat has flavor.
Flavor, yes.
And different wheat has different flavors. Mm-hmm. So here's this whole, you know, just like tomatoes 40 years ago was flavorless and kind of bouncy, kind of pink-orange. And,
speaking of cardboard.
Yeah. And so they didn't have flavor. So it wouldn't matter what tomato you had. But it turns out tomatoes have an amazing range of flavors. And, you know, you use them for different purposes in different ways. And so it's opening up a very rich new world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you have to do to open up the stream where the whole grains can get from where they're grown into someone's pantry? You had to put the harvesting and the milling in place. And then how long has it actually, has the product Community Grains products been on the market?
Just a few months, you know. Okay. The big thing is Whole Foods, Northern California. So we're now in all the Northern California
Whole Foods stores.
Except Sebastopol, because it's a store. So, but I'm told in 4 months.
You should try to get into Fircrest Market and Fiesta Market in Sebastopol. People in Sebastopol are very loyal about shopping at locally owned markets. Living there myself,
so I have actually. I'll try to find it here as we go on. You know, you talk to Craig, but I have a little list. But we're in. There are other stores up here.
Yeah, there's retail lists on your website as well, aren't there? Where you can find your products.
And we're updating it, and it changes a lot. But that's a big deal because, you know, the question is, how do you get it there? You know, your friend had trouble with her farro, so she had a problem in figuring out how to harvest it.
She got it harvested. It was, I don't know if I know the right terms.
Cleaning.
Yeah, the cleaning and cracking. Yeah. And eventually, one time, somebody, I think from San Mateo, somebody down there had a tabletop. Is it a thresher?
Yeah.
Had a tabletop thresher, and it took for, and she brought it up to her house. I think she loaned it to her for a couple of weeks, and Deborah did it.
Yeah.
And I think with this harvest, she took it to UC Davis. But once it was ready, it sold so fast.
Yeah.
It just, like, sold out. People
so
have loved
it. So that's the, you know, how you create a market for it and price for it. So 4 years ago when I, you know, started this, at some point I brought in some wheat from Italy that they make pasta out of.
Mm-hmm.
And the Romagers in Winters grew it out for me. And we did these test plots. And one of them did really well. Bolero did really well. And the Front Porch Farm in Hillsburg grew it out this year, along with three other varieties. When I first got that, when I, the first crop, I didn't really have access to, because it would have been so expensive to clean and store that it was prohibitive. So it was really just a lark, you know. Now we're figuring out ways to sell small amounts, but tying it to product and having someone who is as interested in whole grain as Whole Foods is, and have the strength to, you know, they've got 36 stores, and so you can actually make a commitment to a local farmer, and, you know, where just one market, you know, you're going to, you know, 300 pounds maybe, you know. And so it makes it possible. And so lots of stuff starts to be possible. And I think over time what we're going to do is try to recreate that whole structure of how things are cleaned and stored and tied to products.
What do you think of the Bale Gristmill? Have you been there?
I haven't. I've been described. I hear it's really great.
I've been there. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's well worth going.
I'm in love with the place.
The miller who is the head miller at Certified Foods is a volunteer miller at that Gristmill.
You know, it's on the hit list for closure.
He says that he thinks they're going to, I've been asking about it, he says there's some private money being rounded up, and he thinks it's going to survive.
Yeah, I knew that they were working on rounding up private funds. I think all the parks should survive. That one's at the top of my list. It's an absolute jewel. And I use their polenta most of the time, but now I have your polenta, and I want you to talk a little bit about...
Let me get this.
Your polenta is just magnificent.
Okay, so first, here are these treats. So here
look at these cookies.
100%. Whole wheat, whole grain chocolate chip cookies. I defy you to tell me that you're suffering through eating one of those. There's the polenta for you. And then here are two...
really good cookie. Oh, and there's the linguine.
So the pastas, there's a little bit of... message in the product line. So I'm really trying to develop the idea of having different wheat tastes. So there's two pastas that are made with durum, which is milder, and two pastas that are made with hard red winter wheat, which has a stronger flavor. And then they each have their own shapes, and they're soft. There's short goods and longer pasta. So, as you said, you know, when you have that hard red winter wheat, it, like, really begs bolognese or something really wonderful, full-flavored.
It wants full and deep flavors.
And it makes a pasta you can't get with white pasta. Sort of like, you wouldn't want to use it for that. You know, you don't want white pasta. You want... and then the amber turum is much milder and works well with milder flavors, but there are intricacies to matching flavors, as you know, and so it becomes like a whole opportunity.
I love the instructions on the polenta. 3 parts water, 1 part polenta, cook for 3 hours, stirring occasionally. You know, to the point.
Yeah, what more do you want to do?
I experimented.
Yeah.
And I ended up with 4 parts water, 1 part polenta, and 5 hours.
Yeah.
But I was doing it in a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
It's
wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
So we'll hear people will do it with pressure cookers and...
Yeah.
We're for everything.
Yeah. I had to feed 23 people breakfast at 6 in the morning. I invited everybody who was taking a class I was teaching to my house for breakfast. I thought, I want to give them polenta, but I don't want to get up at 4. I'd just gotten a slow cooker. I'm just going to try it. This was not yours. This was before your polenta was out. This was 2 or 3 years ago. So I just put the polenta in the big slow cooker overnight. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So I've been experimenting with smaller slow cooker, various kinds, and I was really pleased with how yours came out. It really benefited from that 5 hours.
So that the polenta is whole grain, and it's a red Flint corn. It's a corn that was hybridized, selectively hybridized, for a couple of hundred centuries in a valley in Italy, and then went out of production. You can't get it anywhere over there.
So and how were you able to revive
this
it?
This wonderful guy, William Rubel, who's a food historian, he found it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he found it in Trieste in Family Garden, and he brought it in, and then Glenn Roberts at Anson Mills started growing it, mm-hmm. and he has it, and then I have it. Now there's kind of a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to talk to Craig.
I'm just saying we've got to bring Craig into this conversation.
We on the website, we sell the polenta and we sell the flour, because nobody really has the polenta, and we're going to be getting the polenta out uh-huh. eventually, but we didn't have much of it. We just harvested a bunch of it, so we'll have more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't sell the pastas on the
website.
The beans on the website, uh-huh. but it's in a lot of stores.
Uh-huh.
Is flour in Whole Foods?
The flour is in Whole Foods.
In four-pound bags?
In four-pound bags.
Okay. So, Greg, tell us about where in San Rafael is the bakery?
It's on 117 Shaver Street, which is between 3rd and 4th, and it's a little tiny street, and the bakery is the only business on the street. It's a residential neighborhood, and it's 900 square feet, and it's really, you know, it's a 1920s California-style building, and we're attempting to make people super delicious things with 100% whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that people are excited about being offered 100% whole grain items. They're far and few between, in fact. So.
Yeah. How often are you open?
We're only open 3 days a week.
Which
we're
days?
Open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the reason for that is that I like wearing a lot of hats.
Uh-huh.
So, and also, I've been, you know, baking for many years, and it's kind of hard on the old body. So
mm-hmm.
Doing retail 5 or 6 days a week, I don't even know if my body could do it. But
so you founded Artisan Bakery in what year?
It'll be 20 years.
No. Oh.
Yeah.
20. Oh.
It'll be 20 years this next year. So 1992.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you've done so many amazing things. Did you open an artisan in San Rafael?
I had one in Larkspur.
Okay.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the right fit at the right time. It's mm-hmm. interesting. There's a bakery there now that's rocking and rolling. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. The timing for them seems to have done very well.
Uh-huh.
But for us, it was a little rough.
Okay. And then Artisan is still doing really well.
Yes. It's a very big bakery. Unfortunately, it's not doing any retail. The retail store is no longer open,
yeah.
and it's growing and big white bread bakery. You know,
yeah.
so for me, I've really changed. I'm not.
You're doing something very different now.
Completely different.
Just to note, I don't know if you have been down there
to the new
Concert's
one?
Place.
No, I hope to soon.
It's unbelievable, and you can see photos on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole grain challah. Whole grain laminated, you know, Danish.
I've looked at the photographs on the website.
It's amazing, and nobody can believe that he's doing this. And
mm-hmm.
And he is doing really wonderful things with minimal amounts of sugar and fat. So he's using apple butter a lot, and so he has cookies and pastry that is like way more healthful.
Mm-hmm.
In all kinds of ways, and I assume calorically reduced. And
yeah, you know, I don't do the nutritionals on them, so I don't know about the caloric level, but it's certainly that the idea there is certainly to people need to eat every day, and I want the bakery to be special in terms of flavor, but I also want it to take care of their needs for that meal, you know,
mm-hmm.
to really their body to be satisfied.
Uh-huh. There's so many things I want to ask you, and we're nearly out of time, so you definitely have to come back. One of the things that I wanted to touch on some was you're just starting to, you work with scientists and nutritionists and that sort of thing on this whole grain thing. And I don't know if we can sum anything up quickly. I think it's a pretty big topic.
It's a really big topic, but the heart of it is that there's this giant unknown. I mean, all of this is loaded with unknowns
mm-hmm.
in the best sense of the word. You know, wheat varieties. Well, what's the best wheat variety to be growing in Northern California? I don't know. But we're going to try to find out. We're doing wheat tastings and, you know, trying to put back the idea of flavor and nutrition in a review of wheat.
And then this whole thing with gluten and celiac disease, and I'm wondering where that dovetails with, you know, 60 years of using
there's theories.
Yeah.
There's theories that, you know, the problem with gluten has to do with refined white flour, and that your body isn't being given these other nutrients which allows the body to deal with it in a healthful way. And so there are different versions of that. And there are other theories, too. We don't know.
So there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah. And you know, there are very distinct and serious allergies to gluten. And then there are wheat sensitivities, you know, that might be something different, you know, which may be gluten. It could be, you know, one person's theorizing that it's like a sugar rush, that it makes a sugar rush. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, so one of the things the science committee is really interested in is that area, other than endosperm and bran. The bran is just fiber that helps you process the wheat, the endosperm, so it doesn't shock your body and cause problems. But there's a layer inside the bran called the iron layer, which is a sort of very active, chemically active layer that has lots of stuff in it. And then the embryo itself has lots of stuff in it that's quite helpful. And they are, they're interrelated, we think, and we don't know how they work.
Well, and on that note, we have to say, to be continued. You can look for Community Grains Flour at Whole Foods. But to learn
It's also at Oakville Grocery, in this area,
Oakville Grocery,
and Sunshine Market.
Okay, great. Go to Community Grains. Just Google Community Grains, and you'll get right there. And then when you click about, click on About Us, once you're at that website, you can click through to Craig's Bakery down in San Rafael, and I will be there soon. Thank you so much for being here, and sometime in January, February, got to get you back up and maybe get you up early for a meal so that you don't have to worry about last-minute traffic.
Yeah, we should. We should have thought.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Have a great holiday season and a great start to 2012.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
And you have that too. I will not be on for the next 2 weeks. It will be Christmas Day and the New Year's Day. I will be in New Orleans and other places in the Deep South. So meet me back here on January 8th for another episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go.
Let it be.
It's time for dinner now. Let's go.
We got some beans.
Some beans.